Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
To show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, study requires you to do something, right? Study is what's called a verb, or another thing, a verb is what? An action word. You guys remember that stuff when we were doing in your English? A verb is an action word. Study is action. Means you have to do something. Now, obviously I went to school for a number of years. I went to high school, and then I went to college for, it ended up being 9 years. It was only supposed to be 7. So I studied a lot in my life through that time frame. But when I took the bar exam, I actually had to study at a different level. I actually ended up studying 8 hours a day to get ready for the bar exam. And I had not studied like that just for a regular subject in my whole life. And why did I stop? Because I had to learn this stuff. Even though I had gone through 3 years of law school, for those that don't know, is not state specific, meaning it doesn't teach you how to practice law in the state where your school is. It's general in its emphasis, because everybody that goes to law school will spread out and go to different states in the union. So I went to the University of Washington, and they talked somewhat about Washington law, but that was not the emphasis. But the bar exam, all they talk about is Washington law. So I had to, and then I hadn't taken some subjects, so I had to learn subjects as I studied. So I studied 8 hours for a straight month. And I would go home for lunch and then come back and study some more. So I say that to say that if you want to know something, you have to put time into it. It doesn't just come naturally. And especially spiritual things, because we know that according to the parable of the sower, the Bible says if you read the word, what happens right after you read the word? The enemy comes to do what? To steal it. He wants to take away the understanding that you thought you had. And then he says, and then there's the other one that reads the word and understands the word, and it springs forth. And because they don't have any root in themselves, when persecution comes, the word is choked out and it goes away. Then he says, then there's one that allows the things of this world, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches to choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So it tells us that even though we read the word, even though we hear the word, even though we study the word, we have to constantly be diligent to keep the word. I mean, how many of us know people, and this is church people, I'm not talking about sinners, who were walking in the truth, but later on we meet them and they've now picked up a truth that has nothing to do with the scriptures. They've found what's called an errant teaching and they've run with it. And it's not that they didn't study the word, but they just got a hold of it. What they thought was a great revelation, but in actuality was a great deception. Yeah, right. That's why it's so important. That's why church is what it is today. The church is to reiterate truth. Yeah. You guys should be reading the Bible at home. Yeah. Am I right? Yeah. How many read the Bible at home? We should read the Bible at home. We should study the Bible. But the church, when you come to the church, it's to reaffirm what you already heard. And a lot of people in that
going to, this is a different, still spiritual things, but a lot of people always want to go to church and hear a word from the Lord in those days. But the word from the Lord should be first resonating in your own heart. And then when somebody speaks that word, it confirms the word that you've been thinking about, praying about, meditating on in your heart. See, the deceptions come when somebody gives you a word and it's a foreign word. And you don't sit down and meditate or think about or dissect or try and see if that word matches the word that is in the word. And then is it also, does it give witness to your spirit? And I've heard many words that I had to reject. Are you guys with me here? And there's a lot of people, well-intentioned, some call themselves prophets, prophetesses, but the word is the word and it has to be confirmed by the word. They can't teach you a new doctrine because then they become false prophets. So the myth is we just automatically understand these spiritual things in the word of God. But the reality is you have to put the work into it to keep from being deceived. Amen? It's so important to study the word and to know the word. I was going to say the passage, and I don't know where this is because I didn't have it in the notes. But the Bible says that the ministers of Satan appear as ministers of light, right? And he says, and no wonder even Satan himself appears as an angel of light. So his whole purpose, his whole MO, which stands as a Latin word for modus operandi, that's the mode of operation is what that means in English, but the modus operandi is a Latin word from the law, is to deceive people. And the thing about Satan is he'll use truth to deceive you. And you say, well, how does that work? Because you don't know the truth. And he'll take the truth out of context and he'll deceive you with it. That's what he tried to do with Jesus. He says, if you're the Son of God, jump from this building, because the Bible says that the Lord will bring his angels and he'll keep you from falling. And that had nothing to do with him jumping off a building. But if we didn't know the word, if Jesus didn't know the word, he said, yeah, the Bible did say the angels would come and bear me up lest my foot stumble against a rock. But that has nothing to do with trying to jump off the building. But that's what he does. So the only way we keep from falling under that deception is to know that we have to work to understand what the Bible says. Amen? It's a battle. We're in a spiritual battle. We're fighting. And the Bible says we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting spiritual wickedness and spiritual forces themselves in the natural. Just like God is a spirit that has manifested himself in us. So we face to face the enemy, but it's not the enemy himself, but it's the enemy in person of someone else. Just like we're the ambassadors for Christ, the devil has ambassadors for his kingdom. And the ambassadors are the ones that face each other face to face, but it's the power of God that brings the victory. Amen? So, who's that? So next thing we look at is when we become a Christian, all our plans will come to pass. That's a myth. Because it's not our plans anymore. It becomes his plans. Proverbs 19:21, and then also I'm going to Psalms 37:4, I think it is. Let's go to Proverbs 19:21 first. that says this. It says, there are many devices in a man's hearts, in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. So what does that mean? There's many devices. Let me read that in the King James, the New King James. Oh, it's up there? Well, it's behind me, so it's hard to turn around. I'll just read it. But you guys can read it. It says, there are many plans, everybody say plans, in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. That means we all have ideas, we have plans, we have, as what's become popular, we have a vision. We have laid out our life. And if you haven't laid out a plan for your life, you need to. But you need to also take that plan before the Lord to find out if this is what God wants you to do. We're all the same, but everybody's may not be. But when I was young, I laid out a plan for my life. Okay? From 21... I was going to go to college. I was graduated at 17 in high school. I'd be done with college by 21. I would play professional football for 8 years, make about $5 million. That was about what we paid about that. Quit while I could still walk. And then start a business using the money that I earned playing sports. That was my plan. Well, the football thing didn't work, but also as I was in school, I started to want to be a lawyer. So I went to law school. Now, I ended up quitting football at 19. So, well, actually, no, was it 19? No, it was 20, actually. So I quit playing football at 20, but my dad always told me this, and this is, again, before I'm even saved now. He always says, look, it's great. He says, it's wonderful to want to play in the NFL. He says, but you always have to have a backup plan. You know, a lot of people just don't have a backup plan. I mean, some guys are, and some ladies now who plays professional sports, they're just, their whole life is professional sports. And if they don't make that dream, their life is over. And there's still guys that are in their 60s talking about what if, coulda, shoulda, woulda, back when they were 20. Because they didn't have a backup plan. So I had a backup plan, and the backup plan is I would go to law school and become an attorney. And so, but when I got saved, I had to check that plan with God. I had to ask God, God, do you really want to be a lawyer? Is this the course of life that you have designed for me? And the answer, yes, because I ended up going to law school. But I had to filter my plan through the plan of God, because ultimately, if I didn't do the will of God, my life would be miserable as a believer. So our plans will come to pass, but only that he has in store for us. Amen? So the thing we need to do is to make sure that the plans we have been filtered through the Holy Spirit so that he can ferret out or take out all the things that are not his and with you the things that are his. Now, other part of the plan that I didn't know, that was never on of things to do. Even after I became a born-again believer, I said, Lord, I want to be faithful. I want to be diligent. I want to do what you want me to do, but I don't want to be no pastor. I said, I'll support the pastor. I'll be the pastor's friend, but I don't want to be no pastor. I'm telling God this. And guess where I am? I'm a pastor. First, I had to acknowledge that I was. And I didn't want to acknowledge that. What does it mean to be called? Anybody ever struggle with that. Being called means that God has said to you, I want you to. And when God opened that up to me after I accepted the call, I said, okay, I could do that. That doesn't mean that's the path. So I could do that. I could teach Sunday school. I could teach, classes. I could teach, whatever. I could do that. I like that. But then he took me the next step and he called me to teach or become a pastor. Now, at that age that I was called to be a pastor, I had already gotten to the place where, whatever you want, Lord, I'll do it. But I still had apprehension about it. But my point is this. Our plans will come to pass as we surrender our plans to him. In the fact that our plans will come to pass, but it's not ours as in their mind, but ours as in God is leading me to do this, what I'm doing. And Psalms 37:4 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And no, that's Psalms. You threw me off there, but that was my fault. Delight yourself. Thank you. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, most of us look at that from a selfish point of view, meaning that, oh, man, if I delight myself in the Lord, I'll get everything I want. You read that, and that's what it looks like it says, right? And he'll give you the desires of your heart. But it's delight yourself, and he will put into you the desires of your heart. You see the difference there? So it's not a thing. It's a spiritual thing. But there's so many examples in the Bible where God gave people stuff that they didn't ask for. Solomon. I mean, Solomon is the best example of God. What do you want? And Solomon says, Lord, I'm young. I don't know what to do. And I need wisdom to rule this people. And then God said, well, because you didn't ask for this, that, and the other, I'm going to give you all that plus wisdom. And Solomon got all this stuff, but of course Solomon got sidetracked a little bit. So all those women couldn't remember their names. You had 1,000 wives. You're like, we got 5 kids and can't remember their names. Whoever you are, I mean, just imagine 1,000 women. Brenda, who are you? And I'm sure he went crazy because he had so many wives. But of course, they led him astray because they started wanting him to build for them idols that they worshipped in their country. Because the Bible said he loved a lot of strange women, meaning foreign women. So we have to understand that God's plans will come to pass. And our plans will come to pass as we submit them to the Lord. Amen.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
Next, what we look at, the next thing is, when we become a Christian, all our prayers will be answered. Well, let's look at prayers for a minute. Let's go to John 14, and then John 15, and then 1 John 5, and then James 4. So let's go to John chapter the Gospel of John first. So Gospel of John chapter 14. Verse 13 I got on there? Yeah. Let's start at 12, though. Yeah, I started at 13, but let's start at 12. It says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now that sounds like a blank check. That means if you ask anything in his name, he'll do it. Well, let's keep moving. Let's go down to 15:7. Is that the next one? Yeah, 15:7. And it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now, what's the condition there? What's the condition? What does it say? If you abide in me, what does that mean? Not just do what I say. If your life is entangled with his life, you and he are like this. He abides in you, you abide in him. We're walking as one. So it's more than just, oh man, this is what I want today. God, in Jesus' name, because you said if I ask in Jesus' name, it'll be, no, that's not. Are you abiding? Are you dwelling in him? Amen. Let's go to 1 John 5:14-15. Now this is really sets it out. This is one of my old memory verses, so I could just state it, but let's just go through it. 14, it says this. It says, now this is the confidence. Everybody say confidence or assurance that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he what? He hears us. And if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. If we ask anything according to his will, that's like abiding in him. And then James 4:3 settles it again. James 4:1. Where do you wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure? At war members, you lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. So the condition that your prayers be answered is that they be in his will and that you're abiding in him. If you do those two things, your prayers will be answered. But you say, well, how come my prayers aren't always answered? Well, first you got to check to see if it's, does it meet those two conditions? But then secondly, you got to be patient. Prayer doesn't always happen tomorrow. Some prayers are a process, because the process has to begin in you. You're asking God for stuff, and God has to prepare you to be ready to receive what you asked for. So there's a process. And then the fact that God is not a magician, God is not a genie, he doesn't always answer everything right away, because God is not on a timetable. Remember, God is outside of time, transcends time. God is not worried that this is now 12:05 and you need an answer by 12:30. He doesn't think like that. He's an eternal God. Everybody say eternal God. Say it again, eternal God, meaning that his clock doesn't even work. He doesn't have a clock. He says a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. Well, man, if it takes 1,000 years for our prayers to be answered, we're in trouble because we're not going to be here. And that's not a time capsule, but that's helping us to understand that God transcends time. That's why our deadlines that we all worry about, he doesn't worry about stuff like that. Because he can change things. He can change deadlines. When everybody says, you got to have this in by August 31st, God says, nope, I don't want to do it by August 31st, so I'm changing the deadline. And the people change the deadline because God changed the deadline. That's the kind of God we serve. But our faith in the promises that he has given us gives us the ability to be patient, but learning how to ask properly helps us to get what we're asking for. Now, the things that we have permission to ask for is daily bread. Everybody say daily bread. In the Lord's Prayer, he covered that. Give us this day our daily bread. What is daily bread? Does that mean just bread? That means stuff for us to eat. And he says, I'll provide all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So he's given you permission to ask him for provision for his need, your needs. And what does that mean? Well, your provision for your needs mean what do you need for what you're doing? Some people need more than other people because they're doing more than those groups are doing. In other words, if I was I'm the leader of the church, the need that I have is not just for me, but it's for the church. So I pray for, Lord, get us a building that we can own. Send us a place where we can really set our roots down and grow. And if I was, as a business person, I have to pray, Lord, provide me cases so that I can take care of my family and pay the bills that I have for my business. And the more your business grows, I mean, if you're doing a $10 million worth of revenues, you need God to provide $10 million worth of revenues. So that need, you see what I mean? So everybody's need is different. And I get tired of people who only have a $500 a month need saying, well, that's all you need. No, that's all you need, but that's not all I need. Amen? Everybody's need is different, and it's according to each one's faith. If you only have 500 need faith, and I have to be careful here, because I don't mean that there's really levels of faith. It's just the trust factor. Can you trust God for 100? That's wonderful. But some people have to trust God for 100,000. Some people have to trust God for 1,000,000. So it's a trust factor. You work into it, but I know God will provide the 100. Now I know he can provide the 1,000. Now I know he can provide the 10. Now I know he can provide. I don't limit God anymore, but it's my experience that dictates my trust in God. So all of our prayers are only answered as we put our prayers on the track of his will. Amen. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray that every morning. Not necessarily the words, but God, that your will be done in this earth. That's what revival is. Revival is the will of God coming down and making his will be done in this earth. People's hearts turning to him. That's part of revival. Amen? So even if we just quoted the Lord's Prayer every day, we're asking God to send revival. And he's going to answer that prayer. Amen? Amen. The next thing, and this I'll close on this one. It says, when we become Christians, we will not have problems with any other Christian. That's a big, we all know that ain't true. That's why we got all these church splits. Church, somebody wants to be a pastor and they don't want to do what the pastor says. And so therefore they start another church. Now, let me go back in history, and I think I've talked about this before. As you guys know, when the disciples died, a church came out of what they built. And it was called the Catholic Church, but it wasn't called the Catholic Church as we know it. We're Catholic means universal. And it really wasn't the Catholic Church like there was a pope and the bishops. It wasn't that church. That came later. But the church that the apostles set up was the only church in the world. And unfortunately, it morphed into something that God did not intend it to morph into. And they began to do things in the church that were clearly ungodly. The church was the persecutor of the people. We all know about the Spanish Inquisition, right? That was the church persecuting Jewish people because they wouldn't renounce Judaism. Now, where do they find that in the Bible? And then the church would do what's called issue indulgences. I don't know if you guys know the history of the indulgence. An indulgence was the permission to do sin based on what you gave to the church. So if you gave $1,000, you had $1,000 worth of sin you could commit. And that was given by permission of the church. Then the church began to say, well, we believe in Jesus, but you also have to do works to be saved. So it became grace plus works. And Martin Luther got the revelation that no, it's grace only. It's by grace you are saved by faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's the revelation of Martin Luther. It just happens to be in the Bible. But that was the revolution that he started in the 15th century. And because of that revolution, because of that revelation, the Pope issued a death order on Martin Luther. If you want to put it in mafia terms, they put out a contract on Martin Luther. And it was the German king, and Martin Luther was German, that protected Martin Luther from the Pope. And Martin Luther could never go back to Rome because he believed that you're saved by faith only. You talk about weird, right? So Martin Luther had to start another church because he had been what's called excommunicated from the Catholic Church. And that led to what we now, and of course, Martin Luther, the denomination Luther started was called what? Lutherans. That's where we get the Lutheran church from. Then after that, you got the Baptists, because also the Catholic Church didn't believe in dunking, baptism. Baptism was by sprinkling, right? Remember, everybody knows if you've seen a Catholic baptismal service, they sprinkle water on you, they don't dunk you. And also the Baptists believed that you could not baptize children, infants, they don't know about their sin, and baptism was a second step in salvation, so you had to know about your sin so that you could be baptized as a remission of sin. So the Baptists were born, if you will, as a result of that. So a lot of the denominations came out because of proper revelation, but then the separation came different. at different times. Now you have Baptists who don't want to talk to Pentecostals because that tongue stuff is of the devil. And you have, you know, and you have all this stuff out there. And my point is, we Christians have problems, but with other Christians, but we have to learn not to have problems with other Christians. We have to forgive, even if we don't understand. If it's not so outside the biblical revelation, then we can still have fellowship with them. Amen? In other words, if they're not believing that everybody's going to heaven no matter what you do, we're good with that. And even if they do believe that, you can still try and get them out of that doctrine, but you can't have spiritual fellowship. We can't go and learn their doctrine because they're trying to lead you astray. Are you with me here? So yes, we have problems with Christians. Let me give you a few passages. Let's go to John 18, 1 through 12. The gospel I'm talking about. And it says this, it says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went in out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place. And Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. And Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, whom do you seek? And they answered, Jesus of Nazareth. And you know the story. Judas betrayed Jesus. Who was Judas? Who was Judas? He was one of the 12. He was a lot of people try to say Jesus wasn't saved. Well, Judas had problems because the Bible said he was also a thief. But how many know Judas was saved? How many know that? Judas cast out devils. Judas healed sick people. You say, well, how do you know that, Pat? Because he sent the 12 out, and Judas was one of the 12. And they came back and said, Lord, the demons are subject to us in your name. Judas was one of those. So Judas had some kind of a connection with Christ. But like all of us, Judas didn't deal with his inner turmoil. Came obsession. And then it became his downfall. Well, what was Judas's inner turmoil? He loved money. He loved money. You might say, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, John says he was stealing from the bag. He was the treasurer stealing from the bag. The money bag. Then, when the lady gave the alabaster box and poured it on Jesus for his burial, he said, well, you wasted all that money. And John said it wasn't because he thought it was a waste. He says he was a thief and he wanted that as his. So he sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, which equivalent today would be about, if it was an ounce each, silver's about $15 an ounce, so what's that? 12 times 15? Well, let's just make it 15 times 15. What's that, 750? $750 is all Judas got for selling Jesus out. And he an eternity in hell, because he was the son of perdition. He became the son of perdition because of his deception and his betrayal. But he did start on the right track. And he was a believer. Jesus always had issues with Peter. Peter could have been a Judas. Peter verbally renounced Jesus. I don't know him. Just Lord, I don't care. Look, everybody else might deny you, but not me, not the big Pete. And then when the times got to, I don't know him. Aren't you with him? Nope. I don't go over there. I never been over there. I don't know that guy. This is the guy that becomes the head of the church. So we're going to have problems with church folks, but we have to do like Jesus did and forgive Peter. Try not to allow differences to separate us. Oh my gosh, if we could learn that lesson. I mean, everybody wants to, you know, I listen to some of these Bible Answer shows, not the Bible Answer Man, there's another one. Because the Bible Answer Man is so divisive, I can't listen to him anymore. I mean, he talks bad about everything. I'm thinking, what does he believe in? I mean, you know, anyway. But there's another show, and the people call up, they want to debate Calvinism all the time. Like, Calvinism is like just all over. And then we'll talk about Calvinism another day. But he's like, you know, and I'm thinking, wow. They just want to argue. These are believers, and they want to argue about what the Bible says about this, that, and the other. But let's get over that. Let's get over that. Are you saved? Yes. Am I saved? Yes. So let's fellowship on that principle. The fact that we're both brothers and sisters. Let's concentrate on that, and let's concentrate on staying saved. Because if I concentrate on staying saved, I don't have to worry about predestination and all this other stuff. I'm still saved, so I'm going to heaven. I don't have to worry about, oh, he was never really saved. I'm still saved, so I don't have to worry about all that stuff. But the enemy always wants to bring conflict in the church. So yes, we're going to have problems with other Christians, but we can't allow our problems with other Christians to dictate our relationship with God. So many people don't come to church because of other Christians that they've had problems with. And I was one of them when I was younger. I didn't want to go to church because of what all my dad had gone through in the church. But I thank God he got me over that. Amen? And many of us, a lot of our relatives won't come to church because of what their perception of church is. And we have to help them get over that. Amen? Amen. Let's stand.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.